Fenstar and Kevin O'Donohue here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And think about it, we hear about all types of diets today, right? There's low-carb diet, low-fat diet, high-protein diet, low-sugar diet, liquid diet, you know, vegetarian diet, vegan diet, dairy-free diet, kosher diet, halal diet. I mean, there's every kind of diet under the sun. And all these diets are really addressing what we are putting into our bodies, right? What kind of food, what kind of sustenance we are consuming. And yet none of these diets addresses what we are putting into our minds and our hearts. And today we have a phenomenal guest who I'd like to welcome back to The Positive Mind, who longtime listeners will remember. Today we have a guest who's going to tell us about an anger diet. And that guest is Dr. Brenda Shoshana. Welcome back to The Positive Mind.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Great to have you here. Those of you who have been listening to this show for a long time may remember Brenda from her appearances on this show throughout the decades that The Positive Mind's been airing here on WBAI. Brenda appeared on The Positive Mind throughout the 80s and 90s. So those of you real long-time listeners, those old-timers out there, will remember Brenda. She's a former psychologist, speaker, author. She runs a workshop called Stepping Stones to Happiness, and she's a long-term Zen practitioner. And today she's going to share with us some work that she's done, and including a book that she wrote called The Anger Diet. She also wrote The Zen of Happiness, which you may be familiar with. Yeah. Brenda, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. So wonderful to be here. Thank you, both of you.
Good to have you.
Thanks.
So anger tastes so good. What are we supposed to do? Why should we be limiting our anger in our bodies and in our system?
Well, you know, you put it beautifully. Yeah. We think anger is delicious.
It is.
It tastes so good. We get attached to it. We want more of it. Yeah. We feel it gives us some kind of strength, some kind of nourishment, some kind of nutrition. Very few of us ever really understand it's a poison.
Really?
Poison.
Sometimes it's the only thing that gets me moving, though.
Well, it seems that way. There is that feeling that, God, I've got to get myself really worked up, angry, and then I'll get going, then I'll do something, then I will make a difference. Otherwise, I'll just be a wet noodle sitting here on the couch. There are other forms of energy that can really move us in a constructive way. But when we rely on anger as our fuel, as many do, there's a huge cost, a huge price to pay.
Yeah. So when people are either feeling nothing or they're feeling anger, those are the only two. We know that there are really basically five emotions: mad, sad, glad, scared, and bad. Bad being anxious. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to feel bad.
Nobody wants to feel any of these things, except glad.
Except glad.
And
Armand used to do, like, when we did sessions, he would say, how much percent are you mad? 10%. How much are you glad? 20%. You know, so to constantly gauge where a person is at. And, you know, we need these emotions, like anger, to move. Motions, you know, emotion gets us moving.
We do think that. Everybody thinks I need my anger.
Right.
Who would I be without my anger? I mean, I would be dead. I would be empty. I wouldn't be feeling. But it's extremely, extremely beautiful to understand that there are other kinds of emotions and feelings, even outside of the range of mad, glad, sad, bad, that will move us, that will motivate us, that will cause us to function in a really constructive manner, that when anger takes over or some of the other emotions take over, our discriminator closes. We don't see what's really happening, and so we're at the effect of the anger.
It takes many forms, doesn't it? I mean, the anger can manifest itself or disguise itself as other emotions. And you talk about that in your book. What are some of the forms that you see anger manifesting as that may not be so obvious?
Great. That's a great question. Yeah. In this book, I discuss 24 forms of anger, you see, which is what's keeping these different situations going. I'll give you some of them. Hypocrisy, lying and deception, depression.
So you're, whenever you lie,
yeah,
you can ask yourself, am I angry?
Well, you are angry because the lying is key, is a form of doing something actually harmful to yourself and to the other person. We don't realize it. We don't realize how harmful anger is. This is, if I only make this point today, and if you really get it, wow, yeah. Your life will be really transformed. The anger is harmful, and it can be released. It can be replaced with wonderful food that's constructive, that's healthy, that's life-giving. And that'll bring you to a different experience of life.
You know, it makes me think, taking lying for an example, couples come into the center and we try to find out where are the lies.
Mm.
What's, you know, because if you find the lie, you can find the anger behind the lie. So I do get it that lying is a form. But some people say, if I tell the truth, I'm going to get scared. I'd rather lie than tell the truth.
They'd rather cover up and hide. Yeah, we feel, oh my God, I'm in danger. We do feel, we live with the feeling, I'm in danger. This is a scary world. My relationships are scary, and I have to protect myself. That's a major feeling. Anger is one way, a very big way, that we try to protect ourselves, and so is the feeling of fear. Both of them connected.
Okay.
But I just want to say, anger is not a protection. It's like if you take a drug. You want to feel good, you want to feel high, you want to buzz. It wears off, and there's a tremendous cost to pay, not just for you, but for others.
Well, it certainly, I think, feels safer for a lot of people to be angry than to allow themselves to go to a place of sadness or despair.
Well, absolutely.
And that's why I asked you the question about maybe the hidden manifestations of anger, how it comes out in some sneakier ways. Because we all can look at the person who's red-faced and screaming and say, well, that person's in a rage. That person's angry. But there are other behaviors, there are other manifestations of anger that aren't quite as obvious.
Yeah, let me read some of them to you. Absolutely. There's passive-aggressive behavior. We all know about that.
Sure.
Where you just won't do. No. You ask me to do it, I smile, I love you, but I'm not going to do anything you want. Yeah. That's like saying, that's a punch, but it's passive. Another form of anger is self-sabotage, how we really pull the rug out from ourselves over and over again. Compulsions are a form of anger. Obsessions, believe it or not, are a form of anger.
So an OCD person is an angry person?
They're being fueled by anger. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And once they get in touch with the anger and learn how to release it, that OCD can loosen quite a bit. Let me tell you a few others. Addictions, naturally. I have here masochism, the wish to be hurt. As well as sadism, of course, the wish to hurt others. Mm-hmm. Psychosomatic disorders. My back hurts.
Right.
I've got migraines. I have a compulsion to eat. Mm. These are all ways that we try to block our anger from us, the feeling of it, or to block the painful situation.
And it's interesting.
Or to control it, too. When
to control it, absolutely.
And when I get a client who has a bad back, you know, I first say, what is it trying to tell you?
Right.
Let the back talk to you.
Beautiful.
And invariably, everybody says, stop abusing me.
Oh,
or stop carrying this stress. I mean, the back is saying, the back is giving out because
too much.
The emotional stuff that's going on is creating this tension, and then it goes out of whack.
That's, you know, it's so true. And so many people have that manifestation with the backs and the necks and things. And it's so sad when you just said, stop abusing me. How beautiful that
isn't
they
it?
Say that to you. It's such a clear voice. Stop abusing me. Nobody wants abuse. And actually, when my back hurts, we're abusing ourselves at that moment. We're internalizing all the hate and the anger.
So you say psychosomatic. So oftentimes when a client comes into a therapist's office hurting with chronic anxiety, and arthritis or something, you can also ask them, what's your stress level like?
Well, because a lot of this is so that we, as you said, we don't want to feel the feelings. We're scared. We think the feelings are going to keep us in control. I'm tough. I've got an identity. I'm a tough guy. I won't feel hurt.
It occurs to me, like, when you do feel anger, you know, you do know yourself. It's like, oh, you know, there's such clarity with anger sometimes, you know, whereas a lot of the time we're just floating around, not really sure who we are or what our goal is or our mission or our purpose in life. So when we feel real anger, it's like, oh, I'm in, you know, I'm in my essence. I am who I am.
Except we're not, God forbid. You're right. We do feel that. We feel that.
Yes.
It's like a wake-up call. At least I'm awake. I'm aware. I know what I'm feeling. But I must say this. We are not our anger. We are greatly senior to our anger.
I love that phrase.
We are not our pain. We are not our feelings. We can let them go. And when we do, wow, who we really are comes out. And who we really are is amazing. It's incredible. It's so alive. And if anything, these feelings are taking our aliveness from us. It's not the opposite way around.
Yeah, we've spoken a lot here on The Positive Mind about how anger is actually a secondary emotion.
Right.
And what that means is that anger is really a response to a deeper emotion. And so it's a lot easier and it feels a lot safer to go to a place of anger, to go to a place of rage, rather than get to a point where you're saying, you know what, I'm really lonely, I'm really scared, or I'm really sad. Those are much more painful and complex emotions to navigate.
They are.
And that's why we call anger a secondary emotion.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's very scary, especially for many people, to feel their grief and their sorrow. They feel more vulnerable. As you said, more out of control, like anything could happen.
And immovable. I mean, when you're in this, when is it going to go? If you sink into that sadness, it can lead to a sense of helplessness.
Yes,
and
it
like,
can.
When is this going to leave? I don't want to dip into this because it might stay forever.
That's right. We do feel that. But I promise you that these feelings are also just feelings. This is based on the Sedona releasing method, but it's true.
Yeah.
They're just feelings, and you can let them all go. You're senior to those painful feelings, too.
Senior.
You are. You're senior to them.
I like it.
And you can say, go.
Yeah.
You can go now. But we, you know what? We don't let them go. They want to go. We don't let them go because that's who I am. That's what we think I am. If I don't feel anything, I'm sad. Who am I? What am I? What am I doing here?
Exactly.
So all of these feelings come up and take charge of that vacuum because we don't know who we really are. We don't live from that truth of who we really, truly are.
And we need to get to that later in the show.
Yeah.
Who is this mysterious me beyond all of this?
Above
my
beyond
anger and my emotions.
Yeah.
Who's the senior me?
That's right.
Not mini me, senior me.
You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue and our guest, Dr. Brenda Shoshana. You may remember her from her multiple appearances on The Positive Mind throughout the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. And she was a close friend and associate of Armand DeMille's. We're thrilled to have you back,
Thank
Brenda.
Thank you. I love being
it's
here.
It's great
Thank
to
you.
Have you back. And it's great work that you've done here around anger. Now, my question is, what about the person who says, wait a minute, you want me to surrender and release my anger, and yet my anger is justified because my anger comes from the fact that I lost a loved one unexpectedly, or I was abused as a child by someone that was close to me, or I experienced this injustice and I have every right to be angry. Is there a time and a place where anger is productive or is okay, or is it still a secondary emotion at that point?
This is a fabulous question. Fabulous. Yeah. And you come to right to the heart here of many, because people feel, I have a right to be angry. These terrible things happen. Now, let me say something right away. Of course, when terrible things happen, anger arises. I am not saying not to feel the anger, not to pretend you're not angry. That feeling does arise. It arises. Is it justified? You could say, well, I have a right to be. You have a right to feel whatever you feel. There's no such thing as you don't have a right to feel what you feel. Your feeling is there. Honor it. Feel it. Notice it. But the problem comes when we hold on to it with a tight grip forever and ever, and then we act on the basis of it, because I want to tell you, the feelings are liars. They're bullies and liars. The anger will tell you things that may not be true. usually is not true.
What's an example?
It'll tell you, oh, I'll be riding on, oh, look at him, he's a monster, he deserves to die. Oh, my God. I'm riding on the road rage, he cut me off, I'll kill him, no, I'll turn around. It says all the, it keeps going with all these, I got to get revenge, like that song. Yeah. You know, and if you don't do something, you're a wimp or you're an idiot. You know, now that's what the anger keeps feeding you, this stuff, and we believe it. And then it's not us who acts. The anger acts through us. We are not seeing the whole picture. We're stuck in a moment of anguish. And when we act on that basis, there are often horrible consequences for ourselves and for everybody else.
You know, we had a caller last week who said that she needed to confront her boss after 3 years. She said she'd been holding on to this confrontation or the thing she wanted to say to him. And it was, the show was on letting go. And what do you need to let go of from last year to go forward in this year? Mm-hmm. It strikes me that procrastination would be a form of anger.
Oh, well, she's holding, yeah, it definitely.
I mean, when you're holding on to something for 3 years, there has to be an anger behind that.
Well, she's afraid also to confront the situation to herself. But I'm glad you brought that up because I want to say something very important.
Yeah, go ahead.
Which is that it doesn't mean if you let the anger go, it doesn't mean that you're not going to handle the situation.
Okay.
Talk to the boss or deal with some negative thing that's happened, but you will do it in a place not of anger. You'll be beyond the anger, so you'll have clarity, you'll have dignity, and it will be healing. You'll have a healing way of handling it no matter what happens.
Well, it's a good time to tell us about the emergency technique because yes, the anger is not going to get the job done.
No.
It's not going to convey or communicate clearly what's behind it.
But it'll even make it worse.
It will make it so.
When you communicate.
Wow, you're really convinced, aren't you?
I know that. I've done this work. If you confront your boss with anger, it'll just make everything worse.
Right.
But if you release the anger and if you come to much greater wisdom about it and you speak to him about the issues, you have a chance of really resolving and working something through. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hit him! Hit him, Fred! Hit him!
Here on The Positive Mind, you're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI. Thank you for hanging out and sticking with us through some technical difficulties we've been having. We're here with Brenda Shoshana. We're talking about the anger diet and how anger manifests in people's lives, the effect it has, how it can disguise itself as other emotions. And it's really fascinating stuff, Brenda. I want to thank you again for being with us today. And tell us some more about, you've explored different forms of anger, right? Ways that you've identified anger as manifesting itself, you know, in disguise almost through other behaviors or other emotions. And you told us about obsession, about compulsion, about lying, about eating disorders, whether it's overeating or undereating. How else can anger manifest itself in ways that may not be so identifiable, in ways where we might not immediately say, you know, that's anger.
Right. I think we also talked about self-sabotage.
Yeah.
And low self-esteem is another big one.
Tell us about depression.
Because
everybody says, all the therapists say, depression is anger turned against the self. Now, a lot of people don't know what that means.
Yeah, well, that's a wonder. Thank you for asking that,
yeah.
Kevin. That is true. And, you know, so many of us, sadly enough, go through days or months or, God forbid, years of depression. And what is depression? It is fueled by the fuel of anger. We're punishing ourselves.
Mm.
We like, deep down, we're saying, no, I'm taking my marbles and I'm getting out of here. We've been very hurt. Mm. We might have been very disappointed. We might have had a crushing blow, and after that, like the wind goes out of our sails,
yeah.
Boom. But underneath, when the wind goes out of our sails, and we've all experienced that sorrow, when the wind goes out, underneath it, along with that, this anger, when it's depression, is a rage. But we don't have the ability to identify the feeling of anger. We don't feel we can act on it sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't want to hurt anyone else.
Right. I mean, if you grew up in a home where anger was not permitted.
Exactly.
It's a double whammy. It's anger at the self and then anger that I can't let it out.
We can't let it out. What do we do? We hurt ourselves.
Right.
Depression, we're really putting a cloud over our own life and we're saying, no, we're beating up ourselves over and over. Maybe we want to do this to someone else, but we're doing it to ourselves.
And I often ask clients who are depressed, how was anger treated in your home? Were you allowed to be angry
in
your
home? Good question.
And, you know, when they get a chance to be in the office and be angry, I say to myself, okay, this is good. Now it's going to abate a little bit. Now their liveliness is going to come out because this sadness and this depression has been layered over this hidden anger.
Well, that's true. You know, as we go up the scale of emotions, there's more energy that comes with them.
Yeah.
Anger does carry. We were talking about this in the first part. I don't know if the
yes,
listeners
yeah.
heard. I'll repeat a little bit. Anger does feel powerful. We have energy. We can do something. We can say something. We're right. But the point of the book, the point of our talk now is that the energy of anger, to hold on to it, it's always very toxic for you.
Yeah.
For you, there's a better way to get motivated, to feel alive, to interact with your difficult situations. There is a good way. And when we learn how to identify the anger, feel it and let it go, then we become much more mobilized and constructive. And actually, you know, it's interesting. People can hear us then. If we're talking in anger, people shut down. I don't want to hear that. Yes. Or they get angry back.
But everybody knows not to pay attention to an angry person, right? Well, there is something that shuts down.
It shuts down.
When somebody is coming at you with their anger.
You feel threatened. And you don't want to get threatened. And also, it stirs up your own anger. So if one point we were trying to make before over and over, let's make it, this is not good to hold on to your anger.
Right.
No matter what you think is causing it, whether it be in the family, whether it be in your life, whether it be political, you're not going to see the full picture or get a really constructive healing response that way.
Right. And again, it's something some people don't even know that they're carrying. If you're in a relationship, it's a great thing if you're in a relationship and you turn to your partner and say, am I chronically angry? Do you think I'm angry, an angry person? Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how many people say, yes.
Wow.
You know, I mean, so I think if you're in a relationship, because, again, you can't see your anger unless it's irritation and shows up episodically. But you can ask your partner, do you see me as anger? What do you see as my relationship with anger? What do you notice?
If you're very lucky, most partners don't know the first thing about what's going on.
Right.
Some of them do, you know, but that's a good question to ask. But you know, there's like a shame also. People are ashamed of being angry.
Yes.
They try to cover it over, as we said before, in a million different ways. But you could bet that if your relationship is going sour or going south, that and actually inevitably there's got to be anger in every relationship.
Of course.
Because when you go into a relationship, and we'll talk, I guess, more about this tomorrow,
that
a relationship, especially a closer and intimate relationship, oh my God, it brings up everything that hasn't been resolved in your life, all the feelings that you've had for your mom and dad and family. And so it's really takes courage to go into a relationship.
It really does.
It truly does. But you got to be ready, and you got to know what to do when those feelings arise.
Yeah. So we want to talk more about shame and anger maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
But talk a little bit about the emergency technique. How do I stop this anger?
Well, I do have what in the book. This book is a program. It's a 30-day program. And every day you let go of one form of anger. And then what you do is you have an antidote to it, a delicious antidote, which might be a feeling of we give them to you each day, which might be judge others favorably, connected to the emergency technique, ways of putting your anger just to the side for a little while and allowing yourself to try a new way of responding to an old painful situation.
I mean, the one I love the most is when you're angry, consider the other person might be right.
Just
that little delay. So you said something about postpone being right till later.
Yeah, because usually we want to be right. And that's one of the reasons we hold on to our anger. We love being right. I'm right. You're wrong. And but once you realize you would like to let go of the anger, this is a wonderful antidote that Kevin just mentioned.
Yeah.
Just say, okay, I'll let him or her be right just for now.
Yeah.
I can be right later. Wow. Wow.
Right.
What a relief. What a relief.
It is a relief.
It's a
very different feeling. Just for people to know that you have a spectrum of feelings in your body and yourself, just notice when anger is there that you have an option to see, let me say this other person is right. You'll notice a shift in your body.
You will. You will. You know, a lot of these little antidotes here, you will notice a shift and you'll feel relieved. And you'll have more clarity, too.
Yeah.
You'll say, wow, this is a pause. I'm putting the pause button, and now I have clarity. And maybe even some compassion will come up or more possibilities of how to respond. For instance, let's do the emergency technique.
Let's do it.
Let's find this.
So the one is notice the anger arising in you and just stop and breathe.
Yes. Now, you know, usually when the anger comes, we just let it take us over. And it lives through us. When you notice it, just stop, feel the anger, experience it. Say, hi, anger. Oh, here you come. Here you are. And you allow yourself to actually feel it. Step aside from it. Don't identify with it. Because as we said before, you are senior to your anger and to all your feelings. You can feel them. So step to the side and feel the anger. and then breathe. And during that little breathing, you're connecting to the breath, to your body. You're opening your vistas of perception. Otherwise, anger closes you down. It closes you down. We want to open up. We want to do the opposite and take our focus for a little while off the feeling of we're feeling it, but that's not our whole world.
Exactly. You say put it in the context of my entire
exactly.
life.
So in your entire life, this incident, something happened. He said something very painful to me or something happened. Now, just when you're in a broader state of mind and consciousness, put that event in the context of your whole life. So immediately it shrinks and your life opens up. You see where it, before the anger expands so greatly that we don't have anything. We don't have any room to function. So you're putting it in the context of your whole entire life. And then after you do
that. Allow the possibility that I may be wrong.
Yes.
I don't always have to be right. Not always.
Not always. Only 80%. Now, you know what? It's such a wonderful feeling to say, okay, I could be wrong. Allow yourself. This is ego. It's our ego that doesn't ever want to be wrong. I'm right and you're wrong. Power struggles. If I'm wrong, that means I'm a wimp. That means I'm stupid. It means I'm a fool. It doesn't mean any of those
things. And it means maybe I'm a fool in other aspects of my life. Yeah, but I'm not just a fool and wrong here. And
I'm wrong everywhere.
I'm wrong everywhere.
But you know, what a relief. Be wrong. Look, who isn't wrong? Right or wrong? Who makes up their mind? It's right, it's wrong.
It sounds like a lot of releasing anger has to do with a sense of surrender and being able to do that. A lot of people aren't able to surrender. A lot of people really need to feel like they're holding on and in control at all times.
Thank you for saying that, Ben, because that is one of the huge mistakes, is the feeling that if I'm feeling angry, I'm in control. We want to be in control desperately. But you know what? When we're really feeling angry, we're out of control. If you could see that, then you begin to become willing, not so much to surrender, but to let the anger go. Even for 5 minutes, you can take it back later. If you say, okay, you can take it back. You can feel it again. Just try. Actually, when you release the anger, you are in control, much more in control. The anger puts you out of control. It's the opposite. We're dealing with the opposite of the way it looks.
Right.
And when you release the anger, even for a little while, more solutions will come. As Kevin said, he felt relieved.
Yeah, a bodily shift.
There's a bodily shift. There is a bodily shift. And so, you know, the way it works with feelings, it keeps us confused and turned upside down. As I said in the earlier part of the show, feelings are liars. Mm. They lie to us. We're not clear. But the more you learn how and are able to let the anger go, the more in control you'll be. And you know what? And you'll feel better about yourself, too.
And I think people who have chronic anger know that it's a lie. So when a situation triggers that chronic anger, mm-hmm. I think because they've been exposed to it so often, on some level they know that this really isn't true.
Yeah, they do. And they also know this isn't feeling good. I'm clinging to something for a false sense of identity. We spoke about anger as identity.
Yeah.
I need to be a tough guy, or I need to be smart, or I got to win these power struggles. That's what person's identity. Anger often constitutes their identity.
Right.
And they feel, oh my God, if I let it go, I'll be nothing or no one. See, and that shows you that they don't know who they really are.
Yeah.
You're not really your anger. It's just a feeling floating through you.
Right.
It's a fascinating concept, the notion of anger as a part of someone's identity. I think there are a lot of emotions that people carry as their identity. I mean, the chronically depressed person begins to see their sadness and their despair as their identity.
Absolutely true.
You know?
Yeah. Beautifully said. Absolutely true. And, you know, the people who are the martyr is one of the identities, make you feel so bad. Oh, I'm suffering so much. They create so much guilt in their family and everyone, you know, the martyrs. Mm-hmm. And that's an anger fueled by, that's an identity fueled by anger, believe it or not.
An identity of victimhood.
Yeah, that can, an identity fueled by anger.
But it's a way of getting attention. I'm a martyr. I'm beyond reproach.
That's right. Look what's happened to me, and you're going to pay
superior.
For it. And you're going to pay for it. Look how I've suffered, and now I want you to suffer too. That's the subtext of all of that.
Okay. And so you also say the other person is not trying to do me ill.
Yeah.
As part of this emergency technique.
Yes, I love that part. I love
that. I think this is a great tool for people who are chronically angry and just get angry at the, with road rage. I mean, they're not trying to do it to me.
Right.
You know, they're not cutting me off. They're cutting everybody off.
Well,
so,
yeah.
I mean, it comes in handy there.
So handy. And, you know, because anger escalates to paranoia. He's after me. He's against me.
Yep.
I'm suspicious.
Right.
And, you know, if you realize they're just doing it. As I said, what a person does says more about them than it says about you.
Yes, you do say that.
They're just doing it. It's not in order to harm you. They may be desperate. They may be confused. But when we personalize it that way, oh, my goodness, then we want to get them.
Mm.
So if you step back, just step back from that and say, they're not trying to harm. You know, the mind, anger will tell you they want to get you. They want to harm you. They're lethal.
Yeah.
Don't believe that. Say, no, thank you. I don't believe you. Just for a little while, try something else and say to yourself, they're not trying to harm me. And I don't have to harm them back with being angry.
You're listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. We're going to take another short musical break, and we'll be back after this to conclude our conversation with Dr. Brenda Shoshana. Back after this.
Oh, yeah! Money in my pocket, but I just can't get no love. Money in my pocket, but I just can't get no love. I'm praying for a girl to be my own. Sonia said she's coming, but I don't believe a word she said, 'cause she ran away and left me one rainy day. She made me head in mind that her love would never die, and now I'm alone, so alone, so alone, yeah, yeah. Money in my pocket, but I just can't get no love, oh no. Money in my pocket, but I just can't get no love. The love I had in mind was very, very hard to find. Oh, it's hard for a man to live without a woman. And a woman needs a man to cling to. You'll see what love can do. After making me feel blue, ain't that a shame? Whoa, baby, ain't that a shame? Yeah, 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 to make me feel blue. Whoa, yeah, yeah, ain't that a shame, babe? Ain't that a shame?
Dennis Brown here on The Positive Mind. Bob Marley's favorite singer, by the way, Dennis Brown.
Really?
Good stuff. Yep, that was Money in My Pocket. And you are listening to The Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue. And today we're joined by Dr. Brenda Shoshana. She is a speaker, an author, a former psychologist. She leads workshops on Zen meditation, as well as anger, and as well as the Sedona Method, famously appeared on The Positive Mind throughout the early decades of this program's existence. And we welcome Dr. Shoshana back here as she tells us about the anger diet and how you've been able to come up with this formula to help guide people to finding a way to release their anger or make peace with their anger.
Well, I would say more or less release it. And it's really not so much my formula. What the anger in the book, The Anger Diary, which is this program for 30 days, I've taken teachings from actually eternal wisdom from all over the world and different places, and I've used it to help people let go of anger and attain a larger perspective. They're antidotes.
Yeah.
Just like if you're on a diet, instead of eating chocolate, you might take a banana.
Right. So, but the book is doing two things. For one, it's showing all these forms that anger takes, and then it's also providing exercises that you can do to manage and control and change your anger.
Yes.
So one technique of controlling your anger is to delay being right.
Yes.
Right? So I'm not going to say I'm right, they're wrong. I might actually entertain the idea that I might be wrong.
Right.
And see what that does to your body. It will make a shift, for sure.
Yes, it will. If you can allow yourself to be wrong, even for a little while, you can be right tomorrow. You can be right an hour from now. Just try it out. I love the way you said that, Kevin. A shift is a shift in the body.
Or I can be right later.
Yeah, I can be right later.
Especially when it's really intense.
Yeah.
Right?
And let the person, you know what? What a gift. Can you let them be right? Yeah. Right now, just for a moment. If you do, that person's going to feel it. Oh, my God. And such anger, such tension will just dissipate from both of you. Oh, my God, they're really listening to me. I can be right now. Just they're listening. They're giving them the opportunity to really be who they are for that moment. You know, when we look at a bigger picture, right and wrong, good and bad, this is the dualistic mind that really,
of course,
really does a trip on us.
Yeah.
You know, it's a horrible way to live. We can both be right and we can both be wrong. We're just expressing our own reality, our own need. And so it's a good technique.
So far, here are the four, and we'll get to the other four after my question. The four are: notice your anger coming into your body, breathe. Two, put the angering situation in the context of your life. You know, this is today. One thing about anger is that you feel like your whole life is concentrated in this moment.
Right.
And I see and understand my whole life.
That's right.
And it's actually a lie. It's an illusion. This moment of anger is really just one situation in my whole life. So put this in the context of your whole life. Allow for the possibility that you might be wrong and I can delay being right. And the fourth one is, they're not trying to hurt me.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, as I said, the anger easily becomes paranoia. It easily develops. Everyone's against me. They're horrible. They're terrible. They hate me. Right. You know, all of these projections, these are projections. Again, this is what anger is telling you. It's not true. It's not true. You know, there's also a beautiful teaching from the Course in Miracles that says when somebody is angry, it's a cry for help.
Well, you know,
there are many other ways of receiving the anger, that they're trying to hurt me, they hate me. Maybe they're just in such desperate pain. If you said to yourself, oh, my God, that person's in desperate pain, something might have happened to them today, you wouldn't feel angry in return. You'd step to the side a moment. You might even feel compassion. So, a lot about your anger is up to you. It's what you're telling yourself. It's how you're perceiving this situation. Actually, the anger can be wiped out in a second by re-perceiving it. If you said, oh, my God, this person just lost their loved one today, would you be angry if they were carrying on?
That's right.
No, you would want to help them. Mm. So you see, so much of it is how we perceive something and the story we tell ourselves about it.
Okay, perfect, really perfect. And you say that in the book, when you see an angry person, when I tilt my head and I look at them differently when somebody's coming at me with a lot of emotion and just say, oh, they must be hurting.
Yeah.
But most of the time, sometimes, I get caught up in whatever it is.
Well, and also I just want to say that Lester, Lester Levinson, who created the Sedona method, the releasing method, I'd like to share what he said. He said also that we all carry within us lots of anger from God knows. And when it's sometimes
I didn't want to be born. I want to stay up there.
Right. Well, that's true for most of us. That's true for most people. So when situations come, he said, they come to us to stimulate our feelings so we could feel it and then let it go. The anger wants to leave. We hold on to it.
Yeah.
We hold on, he said. So things come to us so that it'll bring it up, because if it's not conscious, we're not aware of it, as you said.
Right.
So when it comes up, it's not a bad thing, but it's there to be released, to be let go of. Unfortunately, we don't usually. We do the opposite. We make it real. We intensify it. So all of this anger diet book and also other tools are to help us gain clarity and wisdom and compassion and be able to let this very poisonous feeling go.
So if you could boil that down into a nugget that you could provide for a listener out there who's stuck in their rage, who's walking around every day in anger, in rage, if you could provide that to them, right, what would you say to them right now? What would you say to that listener?
I would say to the
kind
listener,
to sum it all up and to really in one piece of information, what would you give if that person would only take one piece from this show?
I would, that the most important fundamental piece is for that person to understand that holding on to that anger is only hurting them, not anyone else. It's not going to change anything that happened or that will happen. It's not useful. It's not helpful. It's just that they're drinking poison. If they that's the first step, is that people have to want to get rid of it and realize this is not useful to hold on to.
It's difficult because a lot of people are very comfortable in that place.
But they're also in pain. They might be comfortable, but it also hurts a lot. And everybody knows, too, somewhere there's a better way to live, and that the anger is constricting their life, keeping them from a lot of wonderful experiences and doing beautiful things. So if they realize that, that's the nugget. That's number one. You have to realize this isn't worth holding on to. You're not, usually we hold on to it for defending ourselves or to get back at someone. It doesn't protect us, and you're not getting back at anyone.
Also, a lot of anger, I think, is very abstract, right? There's, you know, it's easier to define anger if someone says, for example, I'm very angry with my parents,
mm-hmm.
or I'm angry with my spouse, or I'm angry with my children, I'm angry with my boss. But there's a lot of anger that's directed towards more abstract, more esoteric recipients. People are angry at the world, angry at society,
right.
angry at God. Institutions, angry at God, right. angry at religious institutions, right. political institutions.
But you know, all that is their own anger being projected out there. It's the same, you know, we all have our own anger, and so we're projecting it on this or that. We're giving ourselves a reason to feel angry, to keep a reason to hold on to it, to make ourselves right. Oh, I should be angry. It's all the same thing. We're projecting our own anger, and if you let the anger go, everything will look different to you.
This is fascinating. I'm very, very curious about the person who exists beyond all of this fuel.
Yes.
This
different
anger.
A different fuel, a higher level octane.
Yeah, it's just, it's hard to imagine, you know, who we are beyond these targets that we have.
We're incredible, and the energy available to us and the motivation is so much deeper, higher, vaster, and better. It's like, are you going to eat junk food, or are you going to eat drugs to get energy, or are you going to eat really high-level, delicious food?
I know why you've been on the Positive Mind so often, why Armand had you. You radiate this stuff. You really live it.
It's been my whole life. My whole life has been dedicated to that. It has. Because I think this is the actual manifestation of all the teachings.
Yeah. So did you have a journey to get to this? I mean, did you have a struggle? So often people write books because they've gone through something, and you only realize it after the fact that, oh, I was hanging on to something.
As a young person, such an incredibly difficult situations over and over that I knew somehow I had a choice. I could go down the tubes, or I could make my life a journey, because a search, like for something different. And, you know, when I was little, I remember one day, everybody going through whatever they were going through, I remember saying, this isn't the way how life has to be. Came to me very strongly. No, I don't want this. No, I refuse this. This is not the way life has to be. I knew it somehow. And then it is a journey. It's a practice. It's a direction, setting a direction.
Mm-hmm.
I set a different direction because somehow I saw that wallowing in the pain and the anger and the misery and the confusion, it just takes you down further and further. And I also saw that life is very precious. It's very precious. Everybody's life is so precious and it's so brief.
Yeah.
It's so quick. We're here like a flicker of an eye. Are you going to waste it with anger and rage and harm?
No.
Why would we do that? And we do. And we do. We always look for the worst. And we, especially these days, it's a troubled time.
Yeah. Let's talk more about that tomorrow.
Okay.
Who we can be beyond the lies. Because you say this anger is a lie.
It's a lie.
And you at an early age said, that's a lie. I'm not going
to. Yeah, well, I also saw the horrible consequences of what it did to people's lives.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So, okay, so tomorrow and maybe for a little bit of today, we can go through some of these, like self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
What is that all about? How is that a form of anger?
Well, self-sabotage is when it's really so clear we're not going to let ourselves succeed. We're not going to let ourselves be happy. We're going to just pull the rug out from under ourselves again and again. That is a clear form of anger, although nobody's aware they're angry. They don't feel worth it. They hate themselves. And for instance, I gave that example. Say you're in a relationship. You finally met someone who you really like. Things
right.
are going well.
Right.
They can't go too well because at that moment, boom, either he or she pulls the routines, the programs, the patterns pop in again and wreck the whole thing. And then you say, see, I was right all the time. Relationships don't work, or I'm not worth it. I think you mentioned it, Kevin, makes us comfortable to stay stuck in
yes,
those old
it's
identities.
Yes, it's like a loyalty to the past. It's the
right.
what we know. Right. And so, you know, if I don't sabotage, I might have to leave my family. I might have to leave, you know, my parents. I might have to stop taking care of everybody.
Right.
Holding myself back, sabotaging myself ensures that I'm available.
That's right.
To keep serving or keep being a certain way for people.
But
also, you know, giving up my depression. I mean, self-sabotage, you know, we often say, you know, if you just let go of the depression or it lets go of you, you have a whole future waiting for you.
But we don't want that. The deep down, there's a part of us, I don't want that future. It's a dark part. Sometimes we're introjecting the negative feelings of our family toward us. And sometimes we just, as you said, we feel too guilty that we're going to be abandoning others who don't have what we have. How can I be happy if my parents or my family or my friends aren't? I'll lose everything by gaining something.
Right.
Again, these are all illusions. These are all lies. The truth is we are giving people more. We can serve them so much better by being a model of happiness
right.
rather than hanging in the misery with them. We think, we'll all be miserable and I'll be miserable. We'll be together. We're really just maintaining that misery. So if you will allow yourself to be happy, wow.
Right.
What a beautiful example to see someone could be happy.
And to be happy in therapy is like people think, oh, no, I have to stay terrible so that I can keep going to therapy.
Exactly.
And you're like, no, you can come to therapy and feel better. I often like to say to people, you know, on the first session, what are you dying to have come out of you? Like, what do you want to really emerge in your life?
Mm.
Take time and imagine
Beautiful.
The life that you really want
to
have.
Oh, I think you're
a
very good therapist.
Well, it's fun.
And very compassionate.
Well, it's kind of fun. You know, it is. It moves me. I feel shifts also
of
when
course.
I'm with clients.
Of course.
So this has been fascinating. This is great. I think there's so much here because anger makes things concrete. You know, so often we talk about psychology, like what is anger at the self,
mm-hmm.
you know, self-sabotage. Anger makes it all very clear.
Yeah.
We can see it. And I think people do get a sense that, yes, this is not fully the truth.
Exactly.
There's something else going on.
We're playing a game with ourselves and others. It's a head game.
Right. And maybe we're just afraid, really, of what
of
you
love.
Call the serenity and calm and clarity.
And love.
And love.
It's been a pleasure to have you back here, Brenda.
Thank you so much for giving us the time.
Thank you so much from myself and from Kevin and from our listeners. Thank you on behalf
and
of our
thank
listeners.
You.
Just say her website. Also.
Yeah, Brenda, you can reach Brenda at...
her email address is
topspeaker@yahoo.com.
Topspeaker.
And you can reach us at positivemind@wbai.org.
And my website's BrendaShoshanaWith2Ns.com.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI. Thank you for tuning in. And we are here every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. Take care, friends.